Scene 5, Michael Strong, 10:40 a.m. I went down to the third floor, and in a mood of disconsolate anger, took my seat in an otherwise empty ballroom. It was nearly a quarter to 11 before the audience began to gather for the panel, which was called Explaining the Unexplained. There was some time to go, but I have a moderate experience with audiences, and I could tell already that it would be a light one. It would not come near to filling the room, and it was quite clear that the interview room, which was in charge of these panels, would be mightily disappointed. It didn't matter to me. I was emotionally uninvolved. In the panel, that is, not in Sarah Voskovic. I went over the previous conversation in my mind. There were the trappings of intrigue, the special room, not to be interrupted, the secret to be given away. It was a matter of atmosphere, wasn't it, designed to play on my fears and shut me up. The more I went over it in my mind, the longer the odds grew in my private book that the attempt had been made to play me into the net of shut-up. And it bothered me, because I had been starting to think that Sarah was a nice person. I was beginning to count on her, to rely on her for little things, like getting me an empty room or getting me in to see Marsogliani. And I was just being set up. I could feel myself flushing. Mr. Just, I looked up and blinked my eyes into focus. Michael Strong, the security guard, was standing in front of me. Hello, I said. Off duty again? Early lunch hour, he said. I want to hear the panel, he added conversationally. This is the most interesting convention we've had during all my stay here at the hotel. May I sit with you, Mr. Just? Why not, I said. You're not going to throw yourself out for not wearing a badge, are you? He laughed feebly and sat down in the seat next to me. Considering the fact that there were several hundred unoccupied seats in the room, this anxiety of my company betokened either a strong personal affection for me or an order from his boss to keep an eye on me. I had told Sarah I was leaving to attend a panel, and there had to be only so many, perhaps only this one, at this time. He had no difficulty finding me. Strong produced a yellow pad from his jacket pocket, then carefully chose a pen from the inner pocket in clear preparation for taking notes. He was going to play his cover well. I said, "How's your boss?" Strong turned a pair of wide eyes upon me. "In a foul mood, Mr. Just. About me, do you suppose?" "I don't know. Why do you think it's about you?" "I advanced a theory about that heroine."
"What heroine? What are you talking about?"
He dropped his voice to a low whisper, though there was no one within 25 feet of us. I didn't want to induce apoplexy in the poor fellow, so I lowered my voice, too. "I told Marsogliani," I said, lying somewhat to see what would happen, "that I was pretty certain that the hotel was a center for drug distribution, and that hotel personnel themselves were involved, and that was why he wasn't reporting it. I got what I wanted." For a look of what anyone would interpret as the purest astonishment crossed Strong's face. That was it as far as Sarah was concerned in my book. Strong might be unbrilliant, and he was certainly not a man in whom Marsogliani, who, for all his temper, struck me as a fine-edged sharpie, would confide, and I could see they hadn't bothered telling him what the setup was with respect to me. But if there was no setup, if there really was a drug problem, it was much more likely that Strong had heard the rumors than that Sarah had. So, since Sarah reported it and Strong was clearly astonished out of his pants at what I had said, it was a setup. For once I was proud of my capacity for weaving a logical net. I said, "How long have you been working here as a guard, Mike?"
"2.5 years,"
he stuttered the phrase badly. "And in all that time you've been aware of no such thing, drugs and matters of that sort?"
"No," he said earnestly, staring at me in horror. "You must have been crazy to say something like that to Mr. Marsogliani."
"Not if it's true."
"But it isn't true. I'm surprised he didn't kick your butt."
"I'm too small a target." Strong stared at me in continuing horror.
"You haven't been talking like that to anyone else, have you?"
"Just Marsogliani this morning about 9 a.m., and now you." True enough, I hadn't told it to Sarah. I had asked her, and she had then told me. He said,
"I wouldn't talk about that if I were you."
"Bad for the hotel?"
"Sure, especially when it's not true."
"Okay," I said indifferently, and slumped back in my seat.
Strong said abruptly and nervously, "You didn't tell Mr. Marsigliani that I said the powder might belong to a previous occupant, like as if," he faltered, "like as if it might be a common thing to have that stuff in the place." I felt for him. It was quite clear to me, odds 100 to 1 at least, that Marsigliani would kick Strong out of the hotel and into the middle of the street on his left ear if he knew of that little remark. I had no intention of losing the poor fellow his job. Finding another would be hard work in the Ford recession. So I said truthfully and earnestly as I could, "I did suggest that the powder might have been there all along, but I didn't say you had suggested that. I didn't say a word about you, not a word." He looked unconvinced, disturbed, and he stared at me as though he were trying to weigh my integrity. I let him. There was no way in which I could help him convince himself I was an honest man. I would have to throw myself on the mercy of his perhaps defective judgment in such matters.